So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your great and mighty love with which you have loved us. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that you have so generously given to us in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of your Son, Christ Jesus. Thank you for the grace that has been accrued to us, wherein we stand, wherein we stay, wherein we are now called sons, wherein we have eternal life, wherein we will never perish, wherein we will live and reign with you forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And Father, as we get into your word to see more of your thought and counsel for us, we ask indeed today that our eyes of understanding is enlightened, that we are able to better see, to better appreciate and comprehend all your love and thought towards us in the name of Jesus. We give you all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Right, so we've been talking about heralds. Right, and the simple idea behind that is that we have been saved and sent to preach the news of the kingdom. Right, we've been saved, all right, and we've been, you know, saved and sent. All right, we can call it saved and sent to preach the news of the kingdom. We've talked about the intention behind that, that God has got a thought, has got a plan before the world began, all right, and he executed that in Christ Jesus, all right, and Christ did that and handed that over to us, handed the news, the propagation, the spread of that news, of that victory, of his conquest, of his triumph unto us, that we should go as heralds and preach that news to people. Everyone must hear about this. Everyone must hear about the news of the kingdom of our God. What is this news? Is it just a new car or new chairs or what happened? Well, we've proceeded to say that this news is specific. What Jesus did that we now call the good news, the gospel, is very specific. In fact, it is defined. All right, they happened at a point in history. Okay, and last week we tried to clarify. We read from, we're not going to read it today because of our time. We want to press in some more into some new areas. But then last week we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Well, maybe we should just read it. Let's read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, 2, and 3, and 4. We're just going to take it one step at a time. We read about what this gospel is. What is gospel is? What is this gospel? 1 Corinthians 15. What this gospel is particularly? Let's see. He said, moreover, brethren, because we have a news to propagate. We have a news to propagate. Let's see. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you. He says, which also you have received from me. In which you stand, meaning you guys are saved. That is where you in, as I write to you. By which you were also saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Verse 3, he will now begin to clarify, to detail out the content, the component of the gospel that we are all about. This gospel that secured our eternity. All right, I heard from a man of God some time ago that the gospel that secured my eternity, that gospel deserves my everyday. The gospel that made me the son of God, that gospel deserves my everyday. Think about that. It's not just once in a moment. Once, no, no, no. This gospel that gave me a forever deserves my everyday. All right, I had another one that I've inscribed somewhere in my sitting room. Christ's life for my sins, all right? And I said, my life in turn for his service. I said that again. It says, Christ's life for my sins. And now that I have a life in Christ Jesus, I did not have a life. We read earlier that, you know, we were dead in our sins, all right? It was in Christ Jesus that God raised us up, all right? But Bible says, he quickened us first. He raised us up, all right? And sat us with his son, Christ Jesus. All right. So and that life that I now have, all right, that life will be for his service. Paul in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he says that Christ now lives in me. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. The life that I now live, I live by the that I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself and gave his life for me. All right? That is that gospel. That is that gospel that we have. Let's go back to that Galatians. Sorry, that 1 Corinthians. All right? I want us to see the component of that gospel that we have. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, chapter 15, verse 3 now. All right? It says, for I delivered to you, first of all, with that which I also received. We clarified and specified on that last. It says, I also received it. All right? So I didn't just cook it up. All right, I was taught. Someone told me about this gospel. I received it. Now I've given it over. All right, now that Christ, look at it. That Christ died. That now you can see the specifics now. That Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture, and that he was buried, according to the scripture, and he rose again, particularly on the third day, according to the scripture. We said this is the component. This is the news that we herald everywhere. Hallelujah. And, you know, we're just going to press in on that more today. And that we must be careful not to preach anything else. Because anything else apart from the gospel is less than the gospel. Anything else apart from the gospel is less. I heard that somewhere, that something else is something less. It can't be the gospel. All right, the gospel is definitive, is specific. Of course, we've clarified that because of this event that happened, there are other things now, many things that accompany our salvation. That's part of the gospel. But the gospel cannot be our personal story. The gospel cannot be improvised or cannot be improved. It can be, you know, there's no new edition. You know, we have iPhone 15, 16, 17. Then the new one is coming. We can improve on technology. We can improve on gadgets, on things. But we cannot improve on the gospel. And it's just true. My team lost yesterday. We can't improve on that. It's just the news. Amen. Thanks, Tony. Anyway, before we start preaching another gospel, let's focus on this gospel. Praise God. All right, Liverpool. Anyway, let's leave that. Maybe I should have mentioned today so that you know the. But then let's get to the point. We cannot improve on this news. The news that brought about our salvation cannot be improved on. Okay? All right. So as I, and whatever is less than the gospel cannot save. That's just the reason. What saves the man is specific. So that the password to your gadget or your system is, if you add a comma or you put a full stop, the password will not work. If you put a space, it won't work. You must get the character, the characters, you must get it right. All right? And that is, and last week we said that because the Holy Spirit testifies of Christ Jesus. We read that from 1 John chapter 15, verse 9. He says, when the Holy Spirit has come, he will testify of me. So the Holy Spirit doesn't testify of other things. The Holy Spirit has got a job in persuading men, in convincing people. He testifies of the things that concerns Christ alone. You know, I've heard news that, the Holy Spirit tells me that I should go and buy stock or buy or invest in business. Okay, all right. But I tell you, I won't say those ones are wrong. I don't want to enter into all of those. But we read from the scripture that what the Spirit of God testifies about is about Christ. What it testifies about, let God's word be true and all other ones be secondary. Let's not call them a lie before people get offended again. You understand? Let them be secondary. We hold on to God's word. Holy Spirit testifies about Christ, and we must be particular, all right? Because other gospel cannot save. Other news cannot save. Why? We don't save people. Maybe I'm just recapping the things we've said. Maybe that's the crux, the point of this message. We don't save people. What we do is we plant the seed. We give the word. All right? And it is on that word that the Spirit of God works on to save people. Maybe that's why we have so many false conversion in Christianity these days. Just maybe. Hallelujah. All right? What will produce the Christian character in a man is the gospel of Jesus. That is what the Holy Spirit works on to produce that new birth, that changed life in a man. All right, and the reason we are particular about it, that we don't want to, we will try all our best not to deviate to the slightest degree. We stay on course with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the gospel Paul said he received, and he has passed it on, all right, and now he's encouraging them to stand therein. Hallelujah. So, other gospel cannot save. I wrote here that it is not the messenger who saves, but the message. It's the message. It is the message. The messenger, we don't save. We are just messengers, heralds indeed. All right. We don't save people. We put the word out there, all right, to save people. I make bold to say nobody's testimony is good enough to save anybody. God gave me, aeroplane, whatever. Think about it. Those are good things. But that's not the news. Now, they have their place, get me right? But when it comes to the purpose and the plan of God, it is this gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ that saves. The gospel in itself, all right, has God's power. Has God's inherent power. All right? I didn't say that well. Not that it has God. The gospel is that power. All right? Just like in the seed of a corn has got the power to grow if it's sown in the right place. That seed, if you hang that seed on this place, it will not grow. But it must be, it must be sown. It must be told for that seed to grow. Hallelujah. First, Romans chapter 1. Let's read Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. The gospel, all right, in it, within the, because that news has been spread, because it's the news. I told you of the result of the match yesterday, sir. 30 years later, if you refer to that particular match, can the result be 2-0? It can't be 2-0 anymore. It has happened in past. It has happened in history. The result will be the result forever. It can't change. The reason we continue with this gospel, let's look at it. He says, for I'm not ashamed of this gospel. So when you hear the gospel of Christ, this gospel of Christ, we've defined it, all right? For it is the power, right? That gospel is power. It looks mere. It looks ordinary, but there's nothing ordinary about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Nothing. Is the power, it is the power of God to transform life. Look at it. It's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. And we are saying, this believing, the Holy Spirit helps people to believe. This believing bit of it, all right? This believing is the conception, is that the Holy Spirit helps the man to believe, all right? So when we go about preaching the gospel, what we're trying to do is to put seed there that the Holy Spirit can persuade men about to make them believe. And I tell you, when that man believes in this gospel, Bible says he will never perish. Hallelujah. Let's dwell more on that. The gospel has got power, all right? As inherent, singular, exclusive, good enough saving power. Exclusive saving power is in the gospel of Christ. I wrote some points here, to talk about the gospel. I said nothing can be added to that gospel to make it stronger. Nothing. Nothing can be added to make it stronger, all right? And that when you take anything away from it, it will never remain the same. That, just leave it like that. Okay, Moyo that told that came to share with us the other day. He gave an illustration of, say, for example, when an eatery, when they have opened a restaurant and they were giving you tasters, all right, and this menu is yummy, all right, and everybody had come. You don't want to change that menu now that they are here, all right? Otherwise, because what you gave them to make them come is what you must continue giving to make them stay. Hallelujah. It's the gospel that saved us that we continue. So you can't take anything away from that menu. And the menu, we've seen the content of the menu. Christ died. He was buried. And he rose again. That's all. That's all we're going to discuss till we see it. But I tell you, in those set of events, oh, Bible calls it the wisdom. That's the wisdom of God. In those set of events is the wisdom of God. All right? So that forever we will continue to unravel what has happened, all right, with those set of events. So nothing taken from it leaves it the same. And anything, look at this, anything mixed with it, all right, becomes something else entirely. And something else cannot save. It cannot save. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. Nothing can be mixed with the gospel. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. Let's read it quickly. Look at it. It says, but even if we or an angel, this is Paul. I mean, you can see the consistency. What we've read now, it was writing to a church in Rome, right? Now, this is another church, all right? History have it that this is his first letter, okay? Galatians, that he wrote Galatians first. But let's leave all of those history. We'll come back to that. He says, even if we or an angel from heaven preach another gospel to you, what we have not preached to you, he says, let it be accursed. Now, the accursed, then let me clarify, is not telling us to go around cursing people. No. Now, the context behind this is, in the day, nobody wants to deal with an accursed thing. All right? Accursed, they put it behind the boundary of the town or something. People keep distance away from it. That's the context. Meaning, if they just keep it at a distance. Keep it at, don't have anything to do with it. That's what he's saying. All right? Let him be treated as something to be dealt away with. Because nothing else can save other than the gospel of Christ. All right? Something else, you know, to be sincere and honest with us, something else will be teaching moralism. You know those moral people, sir. All right? They are very moral. They drink their water 3 p.m. every day. Let's leave all of those, okay? Anything apart from that, you know, will be moralism, all right? Will be human effort, will be culture. There's nothing wrong with culture. We've talked about that. Tradition of men, okay? Or motivational talks, all right? Or behavioral modification or management. This may inspire people, all right? I mean, I read a lot of books that motivate me just to think personal improvement. They may motivate you, but they cannot save you. They will get you to be a better person, you know, just physically or, you know, mentally or in your mind or something. But this is not what we're talking about. And we've not ruled out all of this motivation talking as well. All right. But it's not meant for the church. That's not what Christ died for. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we are not talking about behavioral modification or management here or behavioral management. No, we are talking about that which can change the man, that can transform a man from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear son. That can make that man from a sinner, from a captive of the devil, and can make him to become a co-heir with Christ Jesus, sitting on his throne of God. Hallelujah. I want us to see something. We're going to read a couple of scriptures now, okay? And what I want us to see in those couple of scriptures is the consistency, the emphasis that the apostles placed on preaching Christ Jesus as the message alone. We've read some, all right? He says, if any other person comes to you, that's one, right? I mean, they placed emphasis on preaching the news. And not just that, they themselves, they went about preaching the news. I made reference to some part of the scripture last week that this men, all right, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, please let's project it, that they are the foundation, all right? Meaning that I cannot come and build another foundation, you know? So when I came to the UK, when I came to Jersey first, I was attending the Lighthouse Church. And at the time, We were meeting at St. James, you know, Youth Center. I want to tell you some story. And it's not about Lighthouse Church. It's about St. James Church itself. And you will see plaques at the back of the church, different plaques. This is in memory of Madam XYZ, served the Lord 1922. He passed on 1922. Then another one that served Jesus in 1913. I'm like, okay, so men have served Jesus ahead of us. So we are not the first to come about this gospel. All right? And it was passed on to us. All right? And I told myself, when it's my turn to pass it on to my next generation, I won't amend it. I won't change it. I will stay with the gospel. All right? Just like we read about David in Acts, Bible says David, when he has, you know, Bible says David died, and when he has fulfilled the purpose of God for his life, he rested with his fathers. All right? So such is what is the responsibility we have as heralds of the kingdom. Now, what led me to that is that there's a pattern that has been set ahead of us. I said last week, it's copy and paste. We can't improvise. That, okay, let's bring drama into it. No. This gospel must be taught, must be preached, must be communicated, must be shared to people. We're going to talk about that today also. All right? That the responsibility we have is to go about telling people, not just the responsibility, the pattern, the example, the model. Bible says Jesus went about preaching this kingdom, this news. That's the responsibility. Am I making myself, is it clear?
Yes.
Let's read it. Just again to make us see that we can't build another foundation. We can't build another pattern, another model. We must, if we believe the Bible, then you want to stay with the Bible. What we've read there, look at it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. Sorry, 2:20. Ephesians 2:20. Let's read it. It says, having been built, talking about us, okay, Paul was writing to the church in Ephesus, right? It says that we have been built on the foundation of the apostles. Now, these apostles now and prophets will be, all right, these are different class, okay? But then these are the Peters, the Paul, the apostles that came, all right? It says we are built on their foundation. On their example. Now, what is that example? He says Christ Jesus being the chief cornerstone of that foundation. Did you see? So meaning that what they've built, all right, what we are building on is the foundation, is the news that was communicated to us. One more reference in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. We cannot improvise. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 10 and 11. We cannot improvise our own. The gospel of, like I said, it is a news. It's not about to be amended. It's not a constitution that can be amended or improved on. All right? Now, so that when you go about telling people about the gospel, or when you see us in church being somehow rigid in our approach, well, it's just the news. It's the pattern. It's what we saw. You know, I was thinking, I'll give you an assignment. Go and search all your New Testament and find the word dance. You won't find it, but try. But we have the word sing. We have the word lift up your holy hands. We have the word making melody in your heart. Those are the instructions we're given when it comes to, all right? Have I said dancing is wrong? No. But you won't see such emphasis. That's the point. But you see emphasis on how we sing, the song, the component of the song that we see such is the pattern that we have. The fact that many people are doing it, don't make them right or wrong, but we have seen a structure, a pattern in God's word that we must follow. Hallelujah. Amen. We must follow. Praise God. Hallelujah. How did we get to this point? We are talking about foundation examples, right? Look at it. According, Paul was talking again here, all right, as one of those apostles, one of those prophets, okay, that we are now building on their foundation. You see what he said? According to the grace of God, which was given. When did song and dancing, when did he enter Christianity? Is it not just of recent? Have you seen those hymns that we sang, that our parents, our forefathers, that they sang? Was their song, drums, goo-goo-goo-goo-goo, that is so messy and does not give glory to God? People dancing in church and raising up chairs. How does that give glory to God? That's uncivil. How did we get there? That just tripped me off a bit. We won't find that in what we find. The instruction that was given to us is we lift up our hands and we give praise to God. That's the pattern. Otherwise, we may just be improvising our own way of doing things. Talking about the gospel. New Testament. The instruction I get. All right, we are preaching. It's recording, and you don't want to. All right, we can talk that after church. Okay. What I've said is, if you read your New Testament, all right, David, the Bible says he was looking forward to the things that we're having now. Okay, apart from David, who else? We'll talk about that again. Praise God. Look at it. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder. All right? I have laid the foundation. Pay attention. All right? This is the foundation. David didn't lay any foundation for us. All right? Paul is saying that, hey, I have laid. Now, I'd rather stick to Paul's foundation. All right? Now, it says, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. Let each one take heed how he builds on it. Hallelujah. Now, the instruction is that Paul said, I've built a foundation. I've built a structure. All right? It says, according now to the grace. So again, it's not just by his idea. It's not just by what it came about. It says that according to the grace of God, which was given to me. So it's not even his idea. It was by the help of the grace of God that he laid those foundations that we also now must build on. We're talking about the gospel of Christ, what we are heralding, what we are preaching, all right? But let each one take heed. Let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can be laid. Huh? Look at that. No other foundation can be laid than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. So Christ Jesus is this foundation. Hallelujah. So Christ is this that we all build on. Christ is the foundation that we build on. No other. Not even Abraham. All right? They are good examples, no doubt. But the ones we build on, the news we build on, the substance of our faith, all right, is Christ Jesus. Having said that, let's now see the examples of the way they went about preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Acts chapter 5, verse 42. Acts 5, 42. Let's read it. Acts chapter 5, verse 42. Acts 5, 42. Okay, let's read that Bible. Okay. Look at it. Daily in the temple. Now, this will be a foundation, right? This will be a pattern. One of the patterns. Let's get it. Daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as Christ. Did you see that? They did. Now, this will be the apostles. This will be the prophets. They didn't. Now, what were they teaching? What were they preaching? All right? Jesus as Christ. Jesus as Christ. Now, Acts chapter 8. I want to see the emphasis of, because if you don't pay attention this way, we may miss it out. Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Acts chapter 8, verse 5. I want us to see what, again, so those will be the apostles, all right, because around that will be Peter, John, all of those 12 apostles and all, okay? But then this will be another man, Philip, okay? Apparently, he was a deacon. He's been taught what he was taught. He has now gone to another place to start practicing it. See what he practiced. Philip went down to Samaria, or to the city of Samaria, What did he do? I mean, this is another place. So from his local church, quote and unquote, he had now moved on, okay? Yeah. Now, he won't go to cook up his own or to do, okay, what do they need? Someone said, oh, the gospel vary. It depends on people's need. It doesn't depend on people's need. Now, some people, if they need water, you give them water. That's the gospel. If they need, no, that's just some good works that is good, but that's not the gospel. He went to Samaria preaching Christ to them. He went preaching Christ to them. Now, in this chapter still, we're going to see also when the Holy Spirit now told him, or well, maybe God told him to go to the Enoch in verse 30. So we're going to read 30, 31, 32, 33, and 34, 35. I just want you to read that story. You will see again, all right, verse 30. Now, verse 30, let's take it one step at a time. So Philip ran to him, all right, and had him reading prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I? Look at it again. How can he? Unless someone guides him or guides me. And he asked Philip, come up and sit with me. All right? Come up and, you know, verse 32. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Verse 33. Verse 33. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? Now, can we combine 34 and 35? Thank you. Look at it again. Pay attention. You will expect that, oh, now this is an Enoch, a very well-to-do man. He wasn't seeking any economic advantage. All right? See what Philip will do. All right? So the Enoch answered Philip and said, I ask you, he was asking him, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself, of someone, of some other man? Pay attention. See what Philip did. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at that scripture, what did he preach to him again? He preached Jesus. From that Isaiah, he preached Jesus to him. It's so important that we know the message that we have been sent to do. Very, very important. Amen. All right. So let's see. Acts chapter 9, verse 20. I just want us to see scriptures upon scriptures of people emphasizing what were they preaching? What were they heralding? Acts chapter 9, verse 20. Again. So this is Paul, immediately after he was saved, after he was converted. He says, immediately, that's Paul, he preached Christ in the synagogue. So when we hear he preached Christ, we now know the content of preaching Christ, okay? Not that he was born in the manger, not that he was the son of Virgin Mary, or, you know, born in Bethlehem. All of those are true about him, but we said it's specific. He died, he was buried, and he rose on the third day, and better put, he's ascended. He now sits at the right side of the Father. All right, those are the details of the gospel about Christ. Hallelujah. Let's read some more. I just want us to see the emphasis in the scripture. Romans chapter 16, verse 29, verse 25. Romans 16, 25. Preaching Christ. It's so important that we get it and we, you know, that there are no ambiguity about the message. Again, don't forget what I've said. We have a foundation. We are reading the foundation now. We are reading foundational truth about our faith. In Galatia, Peter, all right, is going to write again, all right? Of course, he's writing to the church in Romans. You will see. Let's read. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel. Now, he personalized that gospel. I'm glad he went ahead to clarify what he was saying. He says, it's not just my gospel, then a separate, no. My gospel, which is the preaching of Christ. The preaching of Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. Again, we've talked about that. This victory gospel was from the beginning of the world. Let's read some more. Acts chapter 20. I just want to supply us with plethora. You will see what people were preaching in. And never you think, or never, we should not be deceived to think that there was no technology in those days. At least they were writing and sending letters. Right? Right? So, it may not be as sophisticated as we have now, but they had, was it not in Old Testament that someone invented a machine that can shoot stones? All right? That King Uzziah, that was, the Bible says, was greatly helped. He invented machines that can shoot stones. All right? Back in the days. All right? Machine that can shoot. So, there were some sorts of technology. But they didn't imbibe all of those. All right? It gave us a way to go about it. It gave us a news, a model, a pattern to follow. And it is to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Why are we doing this? We are just persuading ourselves about, in God's word, about the task that we have. That task is to go all about preaching the gospel of Jesus. Am I making myself clear? Yes, hallelujah. Amen. You know, at times, it could be like, oh, it's just been particular well. Otherwise, then I have some brilliant ideas that I could share. Okay, if we put color green and pink together, all right, you know, we do a lot of strategy in our meetings. But it's different, and that's what I'm trying to do with all of this, so that we can clarify in our mind and narrow our mind on that gospel. And please don't think that gospel is boring. Because by the time you get into the revelation of Christ, there's a new old world altogether. Reality is upon realities by the Spirit of God. All right? And the strategy of the devil is to mix it. And yet, once you mix it, it becomes alloy. It's nothing. It's not the gospel anymore. Let's go. We're going to read Acts chapter 20, 20 and 21. Acts 20, 20 and 21. Look at it. Paul again had gone to Ephesus. So this is Ephesus. So we've read about Romans. We've read about Galatia. All right. We've read about Peter. They continued daily preaching Jesus. We've read about Philip in Samaria. All right. Philip with the Enoch, or the Ethiopian Enoch. We've seen the consistency of what they were preaching. Look at it again. Paul talking to the elders of Ephesus. All right. Because this story is about the church in Ephesus. See, he says, how I kept nothing. You can see the consistency. He wasn't giving this a message to this one, another message. No, it's the same message. Look at it. How I kept nothing, all right, that was helpful, but proclaim it to you and taught you publicly from house to house. What was he arounding? What was he teaching? What was he teaching, right? Testifying to the Jews, all right, and to the Greeks alike, the same. What? Repentance. That word repentance is changing of mind. Change your mind. Repentance towards God and faith towards the Lord Jesus. Time will not permit me to open this up, all right? He said, because he was talking to the Jews, because the Jews, they've had a way of believing God before, that a Messiah will come, something else will happen, all right? They have a way of thinking about God, about their laws and the ordinances and stuff. He's telling them, hey, repent, change your mind towards God. God is, change your mind towards God and have faith in the Lord Jesus. Because that is what God has done, what he's doing, what he will do, what he has done. All right? Have faith. Change your mind about the approach of God. Now, have faith in the Lord Jesus. Now, when we talk about have faith in the Lord Jesus, we're talking about his death, his burial, and resurrection. Have faith in the Lord Jesus. That's what he was saying. He says he didn't keep anything away from them. Again, another consistency there. Let's go to Corinth. Corinth. Now, we have a lot. I've just picked all of those different instances. So, we've read about Ephesus. We've read about Galatia. We've read about those folks in Romans. We are just seeing some details about the content of the gospel that we preach. Hallelujah. Amen. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 and 2. Look at it again. Please, can we read it together, please? Let's read together. 1, 2, go. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Straightforward. So it means, so at that time, well, do we have excellence of speech at the time? Oh, yes. Do we have some philosophers at the time? Oh, yes. Do we have orators? Do we have, you know, good? He said, I didn't come with any of those things. All right? He said, now, when you say determined, does that talk about choice and option? That I have options, I have other things that I could have said, or, you know, but I determined, all right? All right? When he said, I determined, so it's not just that, oh, those options were not there. I am particular. This is the way, all right? Don't forget what we read before now. They set the pattern for us. They set the foundation. So we too, we must what? We must determine. We must set our mind to preach the same gospel, the same Jesus. Hallelujah. He says, accept Jesus and him crucified. That is the gospel. That's the content. All right? Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, before we leave here, it tells us that we don't need excellence of speech to preach the gospel. You don't need to be an oratory, or orator rather. You don't need oratory skills to preach the gospel. All right? We don't need to be able to, you know, match. It's all right. All right? Just declare the gospel, simple as it is. It is in that gospel. Bible calls it foolishness. We're going to get there today. All right? But it is the wisdom of God. It is the wisdom of God. You know, my mom would always, I'm going to my, he said, why did God made our mouth this way? Why not this way? He said, well, that's the wisdom of God. That's the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. The wisdom of God is that, you know, everyone we go about, we meet, we preach to them the gospel of our Lord Jesus. So we don't go about telling personal stories. All right? We move on, or telling what happened. No. Or cooking up stories or Old Testament stories and all. By the time we get to Old Testament, and you just change your glasses for reading that Bible, you will see a lot. You just, what I'm saying, the same scripture, we're just going to read it differently. Because what you get to know is that David was thinking about Christ. The promise that he had that made him do all that he did was there's a Christ on his mind. Hallelujah. We're getting there. All right. So I determined the testimony of God, all right, what God did, he says it was about Christ. Verse 4 and 5. Let's read verse 4 and 5 of that same chapter. Verse 4 and 5. Look at it again. Praise God. Praise God. Please, let's look at it together. Again, I beg of you, let's read together and read slowly and pick the content in there. Slowly and let's read together, friends. From verse 4. 1, 2, go. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Hey, hold on. Look at why he was saying so. Because your faith must be in a particular thing. Faith is predicated on a particular. Faith is particular. Not in any, everything. Particular thing. Look at verse 5. That your faith should be in your pastor. No. Should be in all other things. Our faith is definitive. Particular. And that is the faith that saves the man. I feel I should emphasize this more. Because, see, every other thing, like we said earlier, there's something else. And it won't bring about the result that we want. And have we said all of those things are wrong? No. But when it comes to our Christian faith, just leave it like that. Leave us with our Christ alone. Don't bring entrepreneurship into it. Don't bring technology into it. Don't bring cryptocurrency into it. They will say, okay, we want them to know Jesus. Let's teach them soap making. Soap making is okay. Don't bring it into Christ. All right? I wonder, why is this soap making them? Why not teach them medicine? Why not teach them how to make aeroplane? All right? That's not Christ. Our gospel is definite. Now, are we saying we're not going to do? Those things are okay. But do it clearly. Do it outside of Christ and emphasize on Christ. What you get to know, people under the bridge or everywhere, they are making soaps. They are not in church. Hallelujah. Now, if I go that extreme, it's because I want to hammer in my point. My point is that leave us with our Christ. Preach Christ. What the assignment he gave to us, for which one day he's going to ask us, you know how we made soap. How we thought we are taking them out to make soap. They cannot even preach the gospel. They don't even know the content of the gospel that saved them. What's about this soap again? It's not wrong. But the point is that let's major on the major. Let's be particular on the particular. What Christ died for and secured, let's make sure that's what we are telling people. And not just telling, let's make sure that that's what every one of us understands as the task that has been committed to our hands. Hallelujah. Now, we stopped at verse 5. He says that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You get the point? There's an end to this emphasis. It is such that our faith is predicated, is dependent on the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, on the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians, let's read this last bit. And, you know, now, what I want us to do today is just to see the emphasis of men preaching the gospel in the Bible. All right? What they went about preaching, and it has not changed, right? You don't change the foundation of a house, otherwise the whole house is coming crumbling down. All right, we read they are the foundation, they are the pattern. Jesus told us, go and preach. They literally went about preaching this gospel everywhere. Everywhere. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 3 and 5. Look at it again. Look at it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 to 5. But even, verse 3, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Look at it, verse 4. Whose mind the God of this age has blinded. We're going to come to that later on. Who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, again, the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Look at it again, verse 5. That's where we're going in verse 5. All right? It says, for we do not preach ourselves. Did you see the point again? All right, again, now this will be after a space of time. You know, he wrote that letter earlier, all right, the one we read in 1 Corinthians. He will write again. He says, for we are not preaching. You can see the consistency over time. He says, for we do not preach ourselves, all right, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Are you getting my emphasis? All right, he says, and ourselves, your bond servants, for Jesus' sake. So what they were preaching is what Uzu, Christ Jesus. They were preaching Christ. Hallelujah. So therefore, the gospel is not for acting. It's not for drama. It's for announcing. Hallelujah. The gospel, and I put some words together here. I said the gospel is not for acting. It's for announcing. The gospel is not for a display. It's for declaring. The gospel is not for showing forth. All right. Or for, you know, yeah, showing. It is for saying. We must say the gospel. We must preach the gospel. The gospel is a message to be told. It's a message to be communicated. It's a message, you know, and again, I don't want us to fall into the trap of people say, oh, by the time they see my lifestyle. No, we don't silently act out the gospel. We boldly declare the gospel. Hallelujah. Is that what we've seen here? Yeah. We boldly declare. We don't, okay, I will just do my life quietly. No, no, no. We boldly declare the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right? The gospel is a message to be told. It must be spoken. People don't come to faith by just watching us. No. They don't just come to faith by just watching us or by just observing creation, you know, and just watching nature. No. Or just feeling inspired. No. All right? People come to the gospel by hearing this gospel. That's why it says faith comes by hearing. And that hearing must be the hearing of Christ Jesus. Are you seeing you can see the consistency in the scripture. It's very important that we understand that. So we must boldly declare this gospel. The gospel works by being said. Please, I think we should say this together. The gospel works by being said or by being spoken. Hallelujah. So we don't just quietly act out. No, we boldly declare this faith. All right. So it's not not to be acted out silently. No, God's method is preaching, as we've heard. God's method is preaching. The preaching of the gospel, all right, is the vehicle for salvation. For salvation. Don't keep it private. Don't keep your faith private. All right. People that say, oh, my faith is just. No, you don't keep faith private. Because what he told us to do is not privately. He said, go into all the world. Go there and teach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we go out. We don't act. We declare it publicly, boldly, everywhere, preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it starts with you. It starts with me. All right? This gospel starts with you and I. And that we must preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see the example that he has given to us. He has committed to us that ministry of reconciliation. All right? And part of the hammer, if you read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 to 15, right, it says, put on the armor of God. And part of that armor, part of the gadget, you see, it's your feet being ready. You know, you get your feet ready with the propagation to spread the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. We've seen this emphasis today, that what people emphasize in the Bible, all right, if the Bible is the pattern to follow, all right, and if the apostles are the foundation that we are building on, all right, we must follow their pattern, all right, and simply communicate the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it starts with you. We said we don't need excellency of speech to be perfect. No, all right, we just need to be bold. Just take that one step and preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus. I want us to pray today. I just want us to commit ourselves to God today. All right? Because see, we're talking about this because at the end of the day, this is what will matter. What we're talking about today is the task that God committed to us. All right? And it is what will matter. It is for which everyone will stand and give an account. Think about that one second. What are you going to say about this? When you meet the Lord Jesus, what will you say about this? What will you say you've done? What will you say you've done? What? These are the things that I consider and I shudder. What will I say I've done? Okay, now 2025 is almost gone. What have I done about this gospel? What have I done about this task? Who have I spoken to this year? Who has heard about the gospel from me this year? Why not pray to God? Ask for his help. Ask for the opportunity. And you know what? He's not asking you to convert them. He says, just tell them. So who have I told? I will not be silent. I will not be silenced. I will not be silent. I will not be silenced. No policy. I will not be boxed from speaking the gospel. Lord, I receive opportunities. Oh, I receive opportunity. I ask for your. Why don't I just pray about this? Just a minute. Pray about it. If you notice, since we've started this series, I've been asking us to pray because it's important. We must get it right in propagating the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And in propagating it, we teach the gospel. We teach the gospel. We preach the Christ. We preach Christ Jesus. We've seen it all around the scripture from Jesus himself sending people out to communicate the news of the kingdom that it is at hand. Now he's here. Now we have the kingdom. Now we are in the kingdom. He told us to go, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord Jesus, to teach, to speak, to propagate, to follow your example, to obey your command. I have opportunities. I don't make excuse. I wouldn't make excuse. Some of us, we have bosses that we dare not give them excuses. Those are men. We dare not say, it was because I didn't feel my time sheet. We dare not. Now we have a task from our Lord and our Father. Lord, I fulfill this task. I make bold to open my mouth. And even as you create the opportunities, I look for opportunities to teach this gospel in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, because you will help us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Hallelujah.